And on this Memorial Day weekend, we leave you with a portrait of a U.S. Coast Guard veteran. Marvin Perrette served on ships that aided amphibious landings from Normandy to Iwo Jima. These days, he's telling the story of a training exercise that turned deadly before D-Day. Reporter Tom Springer spent the afternoon with Marvin Perrette in his home city of New Orleans.
Like a frigate easing into port, Marvin Perrette's big maroon van pulls up to the curb outside a busy New Orleans hotel.
Hey, Marvin!
It's a cushy mobile command post with leather seats and a mirrored ceiling. The windows are covered with U.S. Coast Guard bumper stickers and American flag decals. From his captain's chair, Perrette welcomes his new crew aboard.
I tell you what, you're all going to be sorry you're hooked up with me.
Marvin Perrette's 77, and he still has the erect bearing and direct gaze of an old sea captain. He wears a trademark captain's hat that leaves a crease on his forehead during those rare times when he takes it off. He broke a hip last year, but it didn't slow him down for long. He's a man in a hurry with many stories to tell. And one of these is a story of Exercise Tiger, the training disaster he watched from his battle station on the USS Bayfield.
Exercise Tiger, the night of the Bloody Tiger, as came to be known.
Perrette recreates the scene with a tape he's made of the chaos he remembers aboard the Bayfield.
Now hear this. Ship's crew set condition one able.
Exercise Tiger was supposed to be a training operation, a bloodless rehearsal for D-Day. The skies were clear and the seas were calm on April 28, 1944, but as 30,000 soldiers waited to practice a beach assault, a pack of German E-boats attacked. From the USS Bayfield, 1,000 yards away, there was nothing anyone could do.
And all of a sudden, man, you start hearing this explosion. Well, that got our attention because then they started ringing for general quarters, and that sends us to our battle stations, you know. And so we realized, man, something's amiss up here. You know, this wasn't in the game plan.
749 people died as Perrette and his shipmates watched the torpedoed landing craft burn and quickly sink into the sea. Perrette still mourns the tragedy, along with the death he witnessed at D-Day, Iwo Jima, and Okinawa. But he's not immobilized by grief. As a rare Coast Guard combat veteran, he's found a new vocation as a spokesman for his fallen comrades. Two or three times a week, he gives talks at schools, nursing homes, and military bases. In his luxurious mirrored van, with the motorized fold-down bed, he travels as far as Pennsylvania to share his story of service and sacrifice.
And the teachers and the students and everything, they eat it up, okay? And it's the thing that really keeps me motivated and keeps me going. And so much so that I was invited to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania this past November on a return engagement to address 5 high schools.
Marvin Perrette's alone now. He's long since retired from a successful career in insurance and real estate. His wife died last September. His kids have grown up and moved away. Sometimes he volunteers as a guide at the D-Day Museum here in New Orleans.
Let's see, looking at this boat brings back a lot of memories, and I'm looking at some numbers out there, PA-33-21. PA-33 would have been the number of the ship that I was assigned to for 21 months. She was my home. PA-33 would designate that this boat belongs to the Bayfield. Probably won't see my name anywhere around this boat, but that's my personal ID.
But he's also got a multimedia World War II shrine in his home.
Okay. Home again. Jiggity jig. Oh, here's something you might find of interest.
Marvin Perrette's study has jammed floor to ceiling with memorabilia and relics of World War II in the 1940s. There are scale models of both German E-boats and the landing craft Perrette piloted during 4 amphibious invasions.
And welcome to the
There
museum.
Are flags and photos, old life belts, and framed displays of Perrette's medals and campaign ribbons. For Perrette, the artifacts in his crowded study are an ever-present reminder of his and the Coast Guard's wartime achievements. During World War II, the Army, Navy, Marines, and Air Force got most of the glory. Now, he wants America's smallest branch of the service to get some credit.
The public never got the message, so that's what I'm all about to this day. I want the people to know what the Coast Guard did, because I'm very proud of what we accomplished. Now, I told y'all, coming out here, I had a surprise for you. Goes something like so.
And when Marvin Perrette's not traveling, he's often playing the upright piano in his living room, wearing white dress trousers and a string of homemade Mardi Gras beads that are red, white, and forever Coast Guard blue.
God bless America. That's what it's all about. Freedom, bottom line.
For NPR News, this is Tom Springer in New Orleans.
That story was originally produced as part of NPR's Next Generation Radio project. And we want to offer special thanks to Michigan Public Radio's Sarah Hewlett.